Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship today, December 7th. Our former President Roosevelt said today is a day that will go down in infamy. You remember that, Dale? What were you doing on that day?
I think I was somewhere in a bowling alley.
I think that was a Sunday morning, too. Yeah, good. Now, you were going to the Methodist church then, right? Yeah. How many other Methodists do we have here today? You were raised Methodist? Yeah. Good. Baptist, too. How many were ELCA Lutherans growing up? Raise your hand. How many were Missouri Synod Lutherans? How many were members of the Catholic Church? How many Presbyterians or Episcopals? Yeah. We got everything here. What are you?
Augustine is Swedish.
Swedish Lutheran. Yeah.
How about Holy Roman?
I'm sorry I asked. I just was visiting. Someone said, you know, I got to get back to church. They hear I'm a pastor or whatever, and they say, I got to get back to church. I said, well, you know, that church up there on the hill, they got everybody there, you know. And we've learned just to gather to say our prayers and sing some hymns that everybody knows and hear the word. And then we go and have coffee. It usually only takes 45 minutes. And their eyes got real bright. Really? But I said the best thing about our congregation is a good Advent lesson. Life is too short to be out there pounding on your own, that if we can help each other down the road, that's what we want to do, try and make our own little part of the world a better place. And if we can stretch out into the big world, we do that too. So that seemed to make sense. At least it makes sense to me. How about you, Irene? Does that make sense to you?
Yep.
Okay, good. Quilts are for sale. They've been marked down ridiculously low, so take a look at those today when you go in for coffee. There's also the jam and jellies have been marked down. So if you need some jam or jelly, I know some of you probably will get up after you have communion, will just go in so you can get first in line. Right, Ron? No? Okay. Church party is tomorrow night out at the Pine Inn. Can they still sign up? Anybody know?
Yeah,
if you need to, you can sign up. Are we still taking orders on poinsettias? Okay, so there's a sign up for poinsettias. If you would like to honor someone, please feel free to do that. And, we're going to be decorating the Christmas tree in the church on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. So if anyone would like to come and help decorate, please join us. Everyone is welcomed at the Lord's table for communion, so I hope you feel free to join us. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, on this 7th of December, a day that is remembered in the history of the 20th century around the world, we are reminded of planes bombing, and people dying and ships sinking. It reminds us of the times in our life when our lives were sinking. Somehow we have found you, or you have found us. Your Spirit has touched us and lifted us up. And today as we gather, we're reminded that your Son is coming into the world again. And we pray that your Spirit might come alive in us again this morning. So stir our hearts. Prepare our hearts for your second coming. Bless us as we gather around your holy table. Send your Spirit, Lord, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is O Little Town of Bethlehem, 279. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse.
Thank you.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the sovereign over all the earth, the wisdom from on high, our merciful Judge and Savior.
Amen.
Let us approach the throne of grace with repentant hearts. Let's take a moment for our silent confession. And let us confess together. Faithful God, we confess that we have been unfaithful to you. Like dry leaves and withered grass, our lives are blown about by our sins and the powers of evil around us. Restore us, O God. Let the light of your face shine on us, and we shall be saved.
Amen.
God is patient, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bring you this good news. You are free from all that imprisons you. Your sins are forgiven. God heals your broken hearts. Live in peace and harmony as you wait for the day of God.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers in Christ, beloved children of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all. Let's join in praying the prayer of the day. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, strengthen us to serve you with purified lives through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give heed to what we say. Jesus Christ was born today. Man and beast before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now hear of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this. He hath opened heaven's door, and man is blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Christian, then rejoice.
you, choir. I'd like to invite you all to the cantata next Sunday. Only one service at 9 o'clock. Lynn.
Very good job, choir. Thank you. The first reading today is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. In grand, flowing, poetic lines, the prophet announces that the exile of God's people in Babylon is over. The Lord will deliver Israel and will care for her as a shepherd cares for his sheep. This word can be trusted because the only enduring reality in life is the word of the Lord. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I say, who shall I cry? All people are grass. Their consistency is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear, say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. The psalm today is Psalm 85. Please respond in the bold print where you see the bold R. Use the refrain, righteousness shall prepare a pathway for God. You have been gracious to your land, O Lord. You have restored the good fortune of Jacob. You have forgotten the iniquity of your people and blotted out all their sins. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for you speak peace to your faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to you. Truly your salvation is very near to those who fear you, that your glory may dwell in our land. Righteousness shall prepare a pathway for God. Steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Faithfulness
shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before the Lord, and shall prepare for God a pathway. Righteousness shall prepare a pathway for God. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for the second Sunday of Advent is found in the first chapter of St. Mark. The Gospel of Mark does not begin with the story of Jesus' birth, but with the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it was written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, 257. Let's sing the first, second, third, and fourth verses. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. After some last-minute Christmas shopping, a woman was rushing with her two grandchildren into the car. And then little four-year-old Jason said, "Grandma, Susie has something in her pocket." And with that, he reached over and grabbed in her pocket, and out came a brand-new barrette for her hair. Though she was tired, the grandmother knew it was wrong that Susie had taken it. It was important for Susie to return it where she'd found it, and they marched back into the store, put it back on the place, and then headed to the grocery store for one last stop. Later at the grocery store checkout, the clerk asked the kids, "Have you kids been good so Santa's going to come?" And little Jason said, "I've been very good, but my sister just robbed a store." Well, I hope all of our boys and girls have been good and getting ready for Santa. In fact, I hope all of you adults have been behaving yourself. After all, Santa is watching, you know. It's interesting how each of our Gospels tell about the coming of Christ in a different way. Matthew writes to Jewish people, so he prepares us for this wonderful story by dating Jesus back through his ancestors, all the way through David and Moses and Abraham, and all the way back to Adam himself. And then he tells us about Mary and Joseph and the announcement that an angel, or that Mary will conceive a child. Then the angel goes to Joseph and says the same thing. And then he reminds the people, Israel, that they're fulfilling a prophecy from Isaiah. The virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God's with us. Then Matthew moves to Jesus' birth and the story of the star in the heavens and the angels singing to the shepherds and the magi coming and so forth. That's Matthew. Then in Luke, you get a story that's a little different. Luke begins with an angel announcing to Zechariah and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents. Elizabeth is an old gal. Not quite as old as you, Irene, but pretty close. She's going to bear a child. And Zechariah, he gets the message from an angel too, and he doesn't hardly believe it, so he's struck. He can't speak. And that would be a good present for some of you wives. Sorry. Just thought I'd check to see if you're listening. Anyway, then Luke's angel makes the announcement to Mary and makes the announcement to Joseph. And Mary goes to Elizabeth, her cousin, and they're both pregnant. And Elizabeth, the baby jumps in Elizabeth's belly, which is a sign that God is really present there. And then Mary sings the most beautiful song ever written, the Magnificat. And Luke tells us of Christ's birth with the angel praising God in the heavens and shepherds hurrying to Bethlehem to bow down before the newborn babe. That's the Gospel of Luke. Then you have the Gospel of John, which is written much later than the other Gospels, probably 12 to 15 years later. And he dispenses with all the genealogies and all the birth stories, the birth narratives altogether. Instead, he goes way back to the beginning of time. And he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made that were made, and nothing that has been made was not without him. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it." That's John's gospel, huh? He almost immediately then jumps to Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist. That's John. And then you have the Gospel of Mark, which we read this morning. Most scholars believe that Mark was the first gospel written probably around 70 A.D. Some think that Mark wrote down what Peter told the story. Mark was fearful that those who were witnesses of the coming of Christ would die off, and so he had to quickly have a written testimony to Christ's life. So Mark, it's thought, wrote in a hurry. giving us a bare bones life of Christ's life, huh? And his death and his resurrection. So there are no shepherds in Mark's account. There are no magi. There aren't any theological reflections like you get in the Gospel of John. However, like John, Mark begins with Jesus' baptism. Mark's gospel begins like this. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophets. Then I will send a messenger to you who will prepare your way, a voice calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, for make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appears in the wilderness in Mark's gospel. He's preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole countryside of Judea comes out to hear John the Baptist preach, and they're baptized in the River Jordan. John's a strange-looking spokesman for God. He wore clothing made of camel's hair. He had a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes one who is more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. I baptize you with water. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's Mark's gospel birth story. So almost immediately, Mark moves to the gospel, the gist of the gospel, Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist. And the Spirit is descending upon Jesus in this story, by the way. And remember, the voice from the heavens open and says, "You are my Son whom I love. With you I'm well pleased." Our introduction to the coming of Christ in Mark's gospel isn't angels singing in the heavens or a bright star moving to Bethlehem. Instead, it's John the Baptist out in the wilderness, and he's got an announcement to make. Usually announcements in church are kind of boring, aren't they? I mean, today they weren't so boring, though, because we found that Dale was in the bowling alley when they were bombing Pearl Harbor. But mostly, those announcements are pretty boring. One pastor was telling me about a typo that they had in their church bulletin over the announcements. It was like this: choir rehearsal this evening at 6:30. Everyone who wishes to sin in the choir must come to practice. I seriously doubt that there's any more sinning in the choir than anywhere else, and they certainly don't need to practice that, but you have to be careful with your announcements. One small college, Bemidji. Any of you go to Bemidji? No? Holy smokes, okay. Thank you. I also went to Bemidji. I remember this announcement that came over the loudspeakers when we were in class. Will the students who are parked on College Drive please move their cars so that we may begin plowing? It had snowed probably 15, 16 inches. 20 minutes later, there came another announcement. Plowing has been completed. The 627 students who went out to move 26 cars can now return to class. Yeah, well, my degree didn't really teach me that much. So John the Baptist is out in the wilderness, huh? He's strangely dressed. He's contending that he has a word from God. He has this announcement that the world needs to hear. This is important for us to see. The Christian faith is not a truth that someone has discovered. It's not an idea that someone has carefully thought out. Christian faith is an announcement. It's a proclamation. It's an act of revelation. One of my seminary profs said, "The gospel is neither a discussion nor a debate. It's an announcement. It's an announcement of God's wondrous love for you and for me." An angel makes an announcement to Elizabeth and Zechariah that Elizabeth's going to bear a child even at her advanced age. An angel makes an announcement to Mary and then confirms it to Joseph that she's going to bear a child named Emmanuel. Later, John the Baptist makes this announcement that we have today to the people of Israel. And what is that announcement that John makes? He says, "After me comes one who's more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This message, this line right here, is at the heart of Advent and Christmas. You and I, we love all the preparations for Christmas. The lights and the music and the parties and the families coming in and the manger scenes and all the other wonderful elements of the season. But none of it means anything without this announcement by John the Baptist. "After me comes the one more powerful than I. The straps is whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." John is announcing the coming of the Messiah, the Savior. He's announcing the coming of God. Really, on the surface, John's announcement doesn't sound all that dramatic. Basically, all he says is that this Messiah is someone very special, someone who's more worthy than John himself. It's clear that even John couldn't grasp the enormity of what he's saying. But he's saying that God himself is coming in human form. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He was the Word made flesh. He writes in our lesson, "You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain." He's quoting Isaiah now. "You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God." He's quoting Isaiah. This is the promise come down through the ages. John's announcement was greater than even he could realize, that God was becoming man, human. He's understanding the Word of God incarnate, becoming man. Without even realizing the full scope of his message, John announces that God has come into the world. That's the first part of this lesson. The second, he also announces that another baptism is coming, baptism of the Holy Spirit. "After me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. I baptize with you water." He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You and I can take great comfort in our baptism. To say that we're baptized into the Christian faith is one of the most important things that can ever happen to us. It's a sign that we have joined God's family. I love the way one little girl described it. Before I give you the description that she used, I need to let you know that out on those ranches out west, the unbranded calves that roam at large are known as mavericks. You know, they free range the cattle. Cattle have little ones, and they have the big roundup. They're claimed by the man to first get their brand on them at the annual roundup. So this little Western girl had been baptized one Sunday by a local minister, her schoolmates questioned her the next day as to the meaning of the baptism, the meaning of the ceremony that took place. And she said, "Well, I'll just tell you, I was a little maverick out on the prairie. And that man, the preacher, he put the Jesus mark on my forehead, so that when Jesus sees me, he'll know that I'm one of his children." That's baptism. Baptism is something like that. It does mark us as one of God's children. But it's more than that. It's a sign of new life in Christ Jesus, new hope in Christ Jesus. That's what this baptism of repentance, the baptism of the Holy Spirit's all about. Can see you're drifting away. Let me go to the bottom line of this, okay? How are things for you? How are things going with you, huh? Your family, your health. How are things going for our country? I mean, on December 7th, it's important to think of that. What about Ebola? Are you afraid? Or ISIS? Or things like that. We get pretty insulated around this lake. The announcement for us, as we think of our lives, is this. Christmas is coming. Jesus came 2,000 years ago. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is here in this place now. That's the point of this. I need Jesus to be here now in my life. How about you? I need desperately to remember that I'm in the heart of God. You're in the heart of God. That's what this lesson is about. Our world is in the heart of God. And Jesus is in our hearts too. The creator of all that is comes very, very, very close to each one of us now. That's the bottom line, and I need that. I really need that. How about you? Amen. May God's peace be with us now and forever. Amen. This time, let's join together singing 264. We'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. Will the congregation please rise? Please turn to the offertory prayer. In the bottom of page 4, let us pray together. God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need. Until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen. With longing and hopeful expectation, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. For the church, that it be a herald of glad tidings, announcing the good news that you are drawing near. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
our prayer. For all who strive for peace and an end to conflict and warfare, that righteousness find a home in their midst. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
our prayer. For wilderness and desert terrains, for mountains and plains, for fields fallow in winter, and for faithful vegetation during these summer days in the southern hemisphere. Lord, in your mercy, for all who are weighed down with economic instability, sorrow, anxiety, or sickness, especially those in our lives, family and friends who need your healing touch, comfort them, heal them, make them whole. That you speak tenderly to them and comfort them in your compassionate embrace. Lord, in your mercy. For this community of faith, that in our busy, fast-paced lives, you will grant us the gift of patience and trust in your steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this Advent message. Help us to prepare our hearts for your coming again. Help us to prepare our lives before we join you in your heavenly kingdom. And help us to share this message of love through our words and through our deeds. We give thanks for all your holy ones who faithfully prepared the way of the Lord. Open our eyes to the new heavens and new earth made known in your advent among us. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our prayers, faithful God, as we watch and wait for your coming among us in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven.
He is seated at
the right hand of the Father.
He will
come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And so we gather at God's holy table, ever mindful of his presence in our lives and in the world. Jesus, at his Last Supper, wanted to remind us of his love for us that never ends, of his sacrifice for us that always lives in us. And so he took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body. It's given for you for the forgiveness of your sin, for new starts, new beginnings, right now. Do this as often as you eat this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All are invited to the table of our Lord. This morning we will use intinction, so we'll hand you the bread and you may dip it into the wine or the grape juice. If you are gluten intolerant, please let me know and we will serve you bread that's appropriate. Table's set. Come, eat and drink. I'll serve you first, okay? I'll serve you first. Congregation, please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join together in the prayer after communion. Lord God, we give you thanks that you have fed us now with the banquet that is yet to come. Keep us alert for signs of your presence in the world around us. Send us as healing oil and sheltering comfort to those in need. And make us bold in testifying to the light of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the blessing of God, the Father of glory, Jesus Christ, our peace, and the Spirit of truth be upon you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 268. Let's sing the first, second, and third verse.